Did you know that 68% of online experiences begin with a search engine, yet most companies still treat SEO like a standalone tactic, not a journey? The truth is, SEO isn't just about rankings or keywords, it's about meeting your customer at every stage of the decision-making process. Today's guest is an expert at blending SEO with customer journey mapping to create smarter strategies that actually move the needle. I'm your host, Chelsea Alves, and I'm excited to welcome Christopher Hoffman to the podcast. Christopher, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Chelsea.
So glad to have you with us here today. You've had such a unique career path. What first interest you to combine SEO with customer journey mapping?
Yeah, actually, I remember the actual day because I think it was back in 2017, and I was doing a copywriting, SEO copywriting workshop for some different companies that we invited in at our agency. And I remember I had this workshop where I had on one side of the table I had a classic copywriter, and on the other side of the table I had this digital all-star, right? So how do you spend 4 hours together in a room where everybody has the same understanding, get something out of this? And that's where I actually found out that what we have in common, all of us, no matter what function we're doing, no matter the skill level, we all have clients, we all have customers. And these customers have customer journeys that we want to draw so we can create the best customer experience. So that's where I thought, okay, customer journeys, that's central to everyone on the team or any company in a workshop.
Yeah, no, that makes sense completely. Let's talk about, many brands see SEO as a technical function. How did you come to see it as a strategic tool for understanding and guiding consumer behavior?
I think it was, of course, it, whether you're, of course, whether you're e-commerce, whether you're a B2B business with some very strange touch points, I think we all need to map out the customer journey. And of course, technical SEO has been a big part historically, working with big sites. I mean, that's something which can really move the needle. I think more and more we are moving towards that. Actually, technical SEO, that's just something which is working, and it's more about focusing on other things. And of course, content is super important because that's basically, how can we meet the what users are searching for? So basically, how can we map what they're looking for? And I thought what I saw was that my customers who came in, they were very focused on, winning the big keywords, right? I mean, that's what we all want to do. That's of course also mainly, that's the biggest part of the search volume typically. But I think I decided, okay, of course it's important to win the big queries, but it's also important to understand all the small touch points on the way, because all of them can be crucial when it comes to actually converting a prospect. And I think I was actually very I was very influenced by Marcus Sheridan. So he's known as the pool guy. Back in, I think, 2014, 15, he was talking about, they ask, we answer, was basically his catchphrase. And that, I took that to heart, that of course every time that a prospect looking in our direction, looking at our types of solution, we need to come up with an answer. And then at the same time today, we're seeing that Google has moved in the same direction. You can say that at that time when Marcus Sheridan was red hot on the stage 10 years ago, it was very much about creating big, very big guides, really owning a topic area, like doing 10,000 words guides. Today it has become much more fragmented. Google has had a much better understanding of, what answer at what time. It's not about a 10,000 words guide. Maybe it's not even about text. Maybe it's about images or video or something else. So Google has become They've got a much better understanding. They're also much more aware of the economy of websites, meaning that we have to deliver something which they can understand the structure of, which where they can actually, it shouldn't be too costly for them to understand the website and index the rank index and rank it. So that's also part of the equation.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it, given the advancement of generative search, generative AI search, I think it's even more important now to really have a good structure in place for each of your web pages so Google can quickly see and scan the content to, promote your site in the AI overviews. And that's becoming, really highly visible in the search engine results pages these days. So
Yeah, that's a good point, Chelsea. I mean, I think we should one thing is talking about semantic search, like really understanding how we should structure the website. But I think it's also a matter of saying semantic search everywhere, right? So it's not only about our own platform. If you are B2B SaaS, if you are SaaS tool, then maybe G2 is your most important, most vital touch point. So also understanding which other platforms are our users, where they're going apart from our website, and really trying to understand if we can be present in those platforms.
Yeah. No, that's such great advice. So let's talk a little bit more about customer journey mapping and SEO because I know for some people, this is kind of like a new idea. So what is customer journey mapping in the context of SEO, and why do you think it's such a powerful framework?
I think us SEOs, we have a. I think sometimes we underestimate all the knowledge and all the data that we have. But actually, Google being the biggest search engine, Google being able to give us a lot of user data, of course, also other third-party tools like Ahrefs, Semrush, etc., can give us a lot of user data. Everybody's interested in customer journey mapping per se, just like in general, understanding what are the users going through. But we can actually, as SEOs, we can build some really good, really insightful maps using Google data. And that's what I decided to do. So customer journey mapping using Google data is basically trying to understand a customer journey. That could be, somebody trying to buy a going something somebody buying an insurance, somebody going on holiday, somebody looking for a SaaS tool. How can we, with Google data and other sources, of course, how can we map out this customer journey and try to understand them better?
How do you go about identifying the key stages of the customer journey, and how does that influence your keyword and content strategy?
I mean, there's so many different customer journey models, right? So And the one that I was taught was the AIDA model, right? So you have the awareness, interest, desire, action stages. I would say no matter what model you're using, it's probably the same, more or less the same steps, different namings, maybe one or two extra levels or less. And then I also have, as a part of this, which people sometimes forget, is there's also a stage after you've become a client. Right, so there's both. You can say there's both the onboarding stage. Chelsea, when you buy a product, what is the first thing you think? Let me answer that one, because the first thing you think is, did I do the right thing? Right. So we're very vulnerable in the first stage, and that's so onboarding is super important. Do we answer the questions that they have right up in front? Where can I find the manual, for instance? And then we also have the ambassador stage afterwards, right? So I put that into the loyalty in general, that there is a stage after becoming a client, which is super important. And I think, if you have a question about a product you bought, I think it's something like 50% of people would go directly to Google to try to get the answer.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's so important too to highlight the, loyalty stage. I think a lot of businesses kind of fail to nurture those customers who have already made a purchase and are just so focused on acquiring new customers. So yeah, it's important to consider, creating a loyal customer base and continuing to nurture those n relationships post sale so that you retain those customers and continue to, prompt them to want to make further future purchases with your business.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's we always talk about funnels, but we should talk about loops instead,
Yeah.
because it's also about it's actually, when you've bought something, that the next mission is for to sell some to sell the next product to you, right? That's the next mission of the company.
Yeah, and it's, also about those customers, re referring your business to other people who might be interested in the same products or services as well, because people are likely to, trust their, friends and peers for recommendations than, just clicking through on an ad. So, yeah, customer loyalty is important to focus on for sure.
So I just wanted to make sure that I answer your question, because so your question was actually, how do I approach customer journey mapping, right? That's
Yeah, just, how do you go about identifying the key stages of the customer journey? But I think you answered that perfectly.
I mean, the second part of that is, of course, the Google data, and I'm, pretty brutally, I divide it up into three groups. So I would say, the what do you call the keywords are divided into what I call symptom queries. So meaning, I have a problem, but I don't know the solution yet. And then I have the solution queries, which is what we're all fighting for. And then at the end, we have in the loyalty stage, we have the support queries. So that's basically, if you try to divide up in those three groups, then you're set. You're pretty well set to go.
Yeah, definitely. Can you share an example of a business that has transformed their SEO performance by better aligning with the customer journey? Like, do you have any clients that have done so and seen, measurable results?
Yeah, plenty. I mean, of course, it's having a great performance as a company, increasing sales, leads, clients, etc. Of course, SEO is part of that, but of course, at the end of the day, it's about having a great brand, having a great market fit. Of course, SEO can be the backbone of just getting in that traffic. It's typically the biggest traffic source. So, for instance, in my daily work, I work with the international B2B companies. So in Denmark, we have a global market leader in playgrounds. So that they're building playgrounds around the world, playground equipment, etc. And they were actually I was actually so lucky to be part of the SEO project from the beginning. So I was as an external SEO consultant, I was in charge of actually trying to build up their team. So they didn't have any SEO knowledge at that point. So my job was actually to say, okay, France, now we're gonna build up your team, or Germany, we're gonna build up your team. And what we did, I mean, if you look at Ahrefs data, you will see that it's, Campaign.com, it has really had a lot of growth the last 5 years. They're really doing a great job now. I'm not part of the project anymore. They've built up an internal team. But what I did to start out was actually building customer journey maps, because customer journey maps was presenting SEO data to somebody who didn't know about SEO, but who still had to understand, okay, this is where we are, and this is where we're going. And also at the same time saying, when you're working with SEO, I want to show results, because I want to make you excited about this. I want to show you the progress from the beginning. And that's also where customer journey mapping is a great tool for reporting as well as you go along. So that's a typical example. And I would say, I'm doing these customer journey maps every day for all these strange B2B customer journeys. I just came home yesterday from doing a workshop in the other part of Denmark for a B2B company who wanted to understand How is our performance for our main tool, and what are the touch points of the clients, and what do we need to do next in order to win this market?
Yeah. It's and it, you know, customer journey mapping, as you're alluding to, you know, it's beneficial for every business, whether they're, you know, building playgrounds, or I'm sure the client you were workshopping with yesterday was in a completely different industry. So it's beneficial across, you know, any bit for any business.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, everybody has, if we have customers, we also have customer journeys, and we live,
Yeah.
and therefore we should build customer journey maps to understand them.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about content. A lot of companies have really strong top of funnel content, and then they kind of drop the ball further down. How do you approach creating content for, you know, mid and bottom funnel stages of the journey?
Yeah, as you say, we have to make sure first that the content closest to the basket is done first, of course. We need to do our product pages, category pages, solution pages, in order to sell anything. But actually, when I present a customer journey map, I'm presenting all the different stages, and I'm also trying to make them understand that, in any given industry at this point, whether it's your industry, somebody else, 2% of your target market is ready to buy, right? So that's like common across industries. So how do you make sure that those 2%, how would you make sure they're a bigger group? Well, you make sure that you educate further back in the funnel, that you expand your target market further back, and you educate them so they're actually ready to buy. So I remember that I think Google had a case study some years ago that they tried to understand how many digital touch points there was in order to buy a car, and it was something like 900 touch points, right? So
Yeah.
if we're just building the car sales page, we're letting somebody else educate our prospects. So the argument is actually, taking charge of this and trying to make sure that our prospects, when we're going to talk to them, and that could probably be 80% of the, well, they've always done all the research themselves. Then, when they're ready to talk to us, they know about our product, they know about the USPs, they know actually that this is the solution that we have to go for, and we have helped building the foundation for them to talk to us. So that's the important part, of trying to build early content. Secondly, of course, when it comes to showing Google that you're the authority, then what is Google looking at in order for you to say, okay, you're always the one we're going to show for these type of questions? It's because you build out the best authority source in your niche. You're present. Every time a client asks, you have content which delivers, which is structured in a way that Google can understand it and does not have to waste too much budget in order to index your site and what you want to rank for.
Yeah, that's great advice. Let's shift gears into SEO a little bit more. When you kick off a new SEO project for a client, what are the first two to three things you look at to assess where the business stands?
Yeah, I think starting a project is actually on trying to understand the business, and also of course, is SEO the right solution at all? I mean, that's not always the case. But I really try to understand the business from a businessman perspective. What is it that they want to obtain? What is I mean, what resources do they have to do this? How strong is their brand already? Where should they start? So really trying to understand the business, understand the marketing and sales plan, and then understanding where does SEO fit into this in order for us to reach the goal of your business. That's really the starting point. So if I can conclude on that, okay, there is a business, okay, there is a marketing plan where SEO is important, there is, then I create, of course, the SEO plan. So it will be about must-win battles. It will be about the SEO strategy to get there. It will be about creating a roadmap, creating working procedures. How do we work together to obtain this? Because on one side, I'm the one with the SEO skills. On the other side is the business with the industry knowledge. So how do we make this be the perfect fit? And then of course, always, as always, you start out with some kind of potential analysis, understanding how big is the search market actually, and there from there you try to break it down. So that is the starting point. I think there are probably many inexperienced SEOs. I've been 20 years in the game now and 10 years on the agency side, but many inexperienced SEOs will probably really quickly go through the tactics, really quickly go after search volume, really quickly go after some specific touch points. So I think it's important to take that first step back and really trying to understand the business before you do anything with SEO.
That was actually going to be my next question. It was going to be, what are some common mistakes or pitfalls you see when brands are trying to implement SEO without, a clear understanding of their customer journey?
Yeah, I mean the best SEO projects are the ones that stopped at an early stage because somebody decided that it had to go in a different direction. So I think, well, a big mistake is of course not having the patience to understand how long time it takes, not having the understanding of the value of SEO, because the value of SEO, it's not that we got to rank number one for this keyword because then we can convert on them directly. So doing a one kind some kind of a last click attribution model and not seeing the given results, it's so I would say a lack of patience, lack of understanding of results, bottlenecks are also part big part of not succeeding with an SEO plan. Of course, strong competitors who are making some moves are of course also something which can stop a good SEO plan. Yeah, I think I've seen all kind of variations of this, and it's definitely something which is important to look at very early, trying to understand what are the barriers which are stopping us from reaching our goals.
Yeah, I've seen that as a common, misconception that SEO, should instantly work and you should instantly be seeing results. And we actually had a question come in from an audience member. They asked, how much time do you think it typically takes to start seeing results from, implementing SEO efforts?
Yeah, I mean, there are businesses who have so much authority that it's just a matter of publishing. I mean, that's like, but if you are, if but if you are new business, of course, as all as everything, it depends. Of course, it depends on the competition. It depends on your skills. If you put down the right plan, it depends on the execution. I actually had a, I think everybody who's working with SEO should have a side project, just to keep, just. Keep the trying out their skills, trying different tactics. I have a Danish site selling a wine, danishwine.com. You can go and look it up. And it took me 14 months from launch date to ranking number one for Dansk Vin in Denmark, which means Danish wine. Now, why did it take me 14 months to do this, which is it's pretty quick in those terms. There was a great SEO plan, but there was definitely also a gap in the market regarding the competition. And So I would say it's a mix of both. I think when it comes to understanding, how can I get quick results? I would say if you're already doing SEO, you can get quick results inside a couple of weeks. For my completely new website, I think it took 2 or 3 months to rank for the first big terms. I did some, I didn't go for the main term to begin with. I went for some more long tail queries, and that took me a couple of months to do that. But it's very hard to say because you have to be aware of how strong is the competition. But if you're in a place where there's no competition, the time it takes you to rank at the top is the time that it takes Google to understand your website, I would say.
No, I agree with that, and I think that's such great advice. It takes time to build domain authority, especially in, highly competitive industries where, competitors have already built a strong digital presence. So it just, I agree with you. I think it just varies based on, the industry and the niche you're in.
Yeah, and the positioning. I mean, I have a friend, and he's every time he wants to, it's a very high authoritative website. So what's crucial for him in order to rank number one is to be the first to publish, in this cutthroat industry. So it's around AI. So every time that OpenAI has they're doing a launch or something, it's a question of minutes of being the first one to actually get their page indexed, doing a review of these new product updates. So that's of course the extreme case, that time to publish is also essential, and it will be more essential in the future because we all have AI tools which can just speed up the whole process of content production.
Yeah, I do not envy your friend being in that field right now because that's arguably one of the hottest topics, especially in the tech space right now.
Oh, he's happy, but I think it would be hard for a new brand to get in
Oh,
there.
totally, totally. It's a fun industry though, for sure. There's so much going on and, it's changing every single day, so it's definitely, I'm sure, keeps people on their toes if they're in that field. From a, let's talk about measurement. Obviously, measurement's the guiding star for many brands of, how their SEO efforts are working. So what metrics do you think matter most right now? And are there, any tools that you would recommend brands to use to, kind of track their performance?
Well, I think of course the classic metrics, impressions, clicks, rankings, etc., are important in order to understand if we are making progress, right? So of course, if you're at an early stage of a project, you want to make sure that you're getting impressions just to show that Google is noticing you. Then the next stage is of course getting rankings, getting the clicks. So that's on one side. That's of course just the basic metrics that you have to follow. Then of course, can we connect this with some converting data? That would be great because that will also, if you are an internal SEO and you need to make your case that it's valuable what we're doing. I think I feel that SEOs always have to buy time to show that what they're doing makes sense to the business, where if it's Google Ads, you can more or less turn on the conversions from the beginning, right? From just putting in the plug. So you really need to understand that you have to buy yourself time, which some metrics will give you, but of course you also have to understand that you want to have soft conversion, hard conversion and metrics in there as well. So if you're further back in the funnel, you want to show engagement in your educational content. So that could be downloading a white paper, it could be see a video, it could be contact me, whatever. And then of course, when you go further down the funnel, you want to have some conversion data, book a demo, or buying a product. I would also say, when we talk about the value of SEO in the future, and you're also talking about the LLMs trying to rank there, I think SEO objectives will be a different game in the future, because it will be a lot about creating brand. It will be a lot about, why should LLMs show you as one of the top five best SaaS tools? It's a lot to do with brand. So something like, I think Andrew Holland has talked about share of search, which is actually saying, how much attention does our brand get compared to these other four or five brands? And actually saying that share of search could be a future metric. So if you, for instance, I say, if you are Mouseflow and you are up against Hotjar and a couple of other players, there are like three or four players in Mouseflow's field, then I would definitely compare my share of search, my brand name. How much is my brand? How many are searching for my brand compared to the competitors? That would definitely be a metric as well to follow, and also a marketing metric, which the non-SEOs understand. So that's it. I mean, I don't think it's I think it's important not to overdo different KPIs metrics to follow, but I think it's also important from the outset to be realistic about what are the metrics which are important for our business. Because if you just think this is a last click attribution, organic traffic, I think in many cases it will be projects which are just abandoned at some point.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point you raise about, thinking more towards like in a future with AI and how AI is kind of, taking over some of the search results. And I think it's important to think about that in terms of like thinking through future metrics and how AI plays into that.
Yeah,
I would also
and also actually, when you and I, we get our own agents to do the searching for us, the heavy lifting, it will be even more important, because we're probably looking into a future, well, 5, 10 years, whatever, where it's not about human touch, but it's more about activating your agent. And what is the agent going to look for, right? I mean, it's going to look for some pretty heavy signals regarding branding. Who can you trust out there?
Yeah, definitely. Unmiss actually has a really great website audit tool right now that pulls in, a lot of different data points from, Google Search Console, and other sources to kind of identify areas for opportunity across every page on your site. So, for those watching this, definitely check out Unmiss for that. It's a free tool, so definitely want to highlight that. But Christopher, what, trends or shifts are you seeing that marketers should pay attention to as they, head into the next year?
Yeah, I think, yeah, of course, search is changing. Search will always exist. I think us digital marketers, we are ahead of the curve, right? So maybe we are, maybe we are overestimating what the typical user will do in the future. Because I think, something like AI is a super trend, of course, but it will not happen overnight that people are just shifting from the classic search engines to use LLMs like ChatGPT for their search. But I definitely think it's important to, maybe be ahead of the curve and say, okay, AI search will be one of the big ones, where the future users will actually be much more on the LLMs. On the other side, I think it's also important to say, okay, how can we become a brand? Are we all just going for the next click, or are we actually trying to build a brand here? So I think digital PR will play much more into a SEO strategy. Links will still be a super important indicator of telling that this is an important brand. So, So that's of course one thing. And then of course it's also about understanding, what is it that AIs can't do? I mean, AIs probably can do everything, but I think something, video, for instance, is still a place where you can have the AI tools help you in a big way, but it's still a place where we can come out with our own tone of voice, our own personality. So just the headlines for me over the next year will be try to understand that the AI tools are going to have a huge impact in 3 to 5 years. So you need to look at what I call the semantic search everywhere. So it's not only about your website, doing right content for the website. It's really about having this semantic search approach where you answer every question that the prospect have on the different platforms, whether that's your website, whether it's G2, whether it's in LLMs. So that's one thing, understanding that, traffic will be much more what do you say, disperse. It will be much more spread on different platforms. And secondly, that branding is super important. What's in a world where there's so much to offer, how does your brand stand out from your competition? And because that will be a crucial factor when prospects have to choose for one or another solution.
Yeah, I think you are right on the mark with each of those predictions for the future, and I couldn't agree more.
But and just to say, we are ahead of the curve. If you are a classic B2B company who is doing exhibitions and catalogs still, it's much more about saying, okay, we really need to go digital. We really need to understand that our buyers, they have moved on digital. I mean, that's where they're doing all their research. That's why your phone is not ringing anymore, because that's where they're researching. And the ones who are educating them on Google or elsewhere, those are also the one who gets to talk to these prospects. So I would really look at trying to understand what is our digital maturity model, and just try to get that in order, try to move our marketing activities online.
Yeah, agree. Well, Christopher, this has been such a practical and insightful conversation. Where can our listeners connect with you and if they want to learn more about your work and what you do?
Well, I mean, they can go to hoffmanseo.com, my website, where you can also see cases and some different presentations that I've done in the past. And then, of course, they can also connect on LinkedIn. Just look for Christopher Hoffman, and I'm sure you'll find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining us today, Christopher. And to our listeners, if this episode sparks some ideas for your SEO strategy, be sure to subscribe to the Unmissed podcast and leave us a review. And don't forget, if you're looking to optimize your SEO, to check out Unmissed's free website audit tool to get started. This has been the Unmissed podcast. See you all next time. Thanks, Christopher.
Yeah, thanks, Chelsea.